When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He's homered. Derek Jeter homers to tie the game. And there it is. Hit number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
BT and Sal back here on The Fan. 888-808-1019 is our number. Last hour of the show, we got Evan Attiki coming up next. We get back to these calls here. Yankees, Mets, two very different sides of the coin. I do want to get back to something that I find interesting. I asked Tom Verducci this. We spoke to a few of the players and Joe about this, about, you know, working with players now versus back in the day. And you know, there's probably less emotion now for sure because it's all numbers and analytically driven, a large part of it is numbers oriented and analytically driven. So when you have numbers which are irrefutable, we might detest their presence because they suffocate the game, but you're not going to challenge math. And if you are, you're pretty much an idiot because it is irrefutable. There's less emotion. There's less prodding, cajoling, yelling, screaming, all that stuff, right? And then even the good stuff that comes with the emotion. So I don't know what Aaron Boone could possibly do to try to flip the tone of the season. Like, you know, Billy Martin flips something over, you know, throws a bottle against a wall, rips somebody at a press conference. Like, all right, that's his approach. What do you do to try to shake the Yankees from this doldrum?
See, here's the problem, though. This is years of behavior that leads to where they're at now, and it cannot be fixed in 4 days. Like, what could Boone do now? Nothing. What could Boone have done 2 years ago? How about hold Gleyber Torres accountable? Or Brian Cashman, what could he have done? How about find an actual leadoff hitter or move on from Gleyber Torres instead of screwing him up and moving him to shortstop and then back to second and letting him get away with the lackadaisical plays? Like, it can't be fixed now. Flipping over a table, yelling at somebody, even benching LeMahieu. Like, I mean, that would be a start. I mean,
I think cutting LeMahieu would be a start.
That's what I mean. Yeah, how about you cut LeMahieu for starters? Now, in the grand scheme of things, what would that do? Probably nothing. Like, it's an insignificant move, but at least it's symbolic of, hey, like, the Mets have been doing it all year.
Yeah.
Hey, you're not getting Tonkin. He's the guy who's been effective with
Wendell,
the Yankees.
Remember Wendell? Got cut?
Yeah, of course.
Right away, boom.
Wendell, they signed him for what, a couple million? He was supposed to be an integral part of their bench?
Yep.
Yeah, done. You're not getting it done. You got an opportunity. That's it. Tonkin, you had an opportunity. Done. Cut twice. And now he's actually found a groove with the Yankees, and he's been okay. And the look at the Mets bullpen. Like, you tell me they couldn't use a guy like Tonkin? Didn't matter. Mm-hmm. Guys weren't getting the job done. And Stearns, even on a team that was 11 games under, was making moves. And the Yankees are sitting on their hands. Sitting on their hands, rolling LeMahieu out there. I don't get it. Now, you and I, we've talked about this for months. It's ridiculous already, even in the offseason. But if you watch LeMahieu play, whether it's the Ole at third base, there was a play at first base last night, he's just old and slow.
I know.
He's like, he's got cinder blocks attached to his feet.
Yeah, it looks like it hurts him to run. It looks like he labors to move.
He can't move, and he can't hit. Why are they continuing to run him out there? I don't understand it. So that would
be a start. Well, one answer is this, Al. They don't have many other options, which goes back to Cashman.
I was going to say, whose fault is that?
Yeah, it's not Boone's.
Right, so
not that part.
And it's not like that would be fixed if Stanton comes back.
No, I know.
No, this is what you did.
Mm-hmm.
You're the one who signed this guy, and I'm not knocking the contract because at the time we didn't really have a big problem with it. But I mean, now that he's underperforming, get rid of him.
Well, this is another reason why I'm willing to move on from the prospects aside from Dominguez. Dominguez is different. Granted, small seven-game sample. I think what he does is so transferable to a diamond, even when he's not hitting. That's going to impact the Yankees winning down the road, defense, base stealing. Like, he's an uber athlete, and he's going to be a stud. But why would I trade Spencer Jones? Well, number one, they need a ton of help. That's obvious. But also, I mean, we heard about Peraza for 2 years. He's sitting 200.
Right.
In the minors, too. Oh, he's like Ozzie Smith at shortstop. Fantastic.
Right.
They're going to be watching him play for the Long Island Ducks soon. He can't hit.
Heard about Peraza. Heard about Oswaldo Cabrera.
Yep.
Oswaldo Cabrera could barely crack the lineup. Now, with a team that has nobody. You're saying, oh, why is LeMahieu here? They have no better options. They start Jones. They start LeMahieu. They start J.D. Davis instead of Oswaldo Cabrera. I know he was in there last night, but you get the point.
Yeah,
So what does that say about these? Like, they're not having an impact. And the guy who's been the best of the bunch with Volpe, even he is having issues. It's not like he came up to the majors and has been a consistent performer from day one. It's been a roller coaster ride with him. That's killing me.
His bouts of inconsistency are worrisome. I still believe he could be really, really good, and will be, but
me too.
When there's that kind of fluctuation, that's, you know, I'm going to tap the brakes before I say you're going to be a star.
Right. I still believe in him, but when we're looking at reasons for the Yankees' struggles, that's it, because they're not getting the type of production that they expected to get from Volpe in now year two. That's a big part of the problem.
It really is, yeah. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal, Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata Show. Steve's down in Virginia on the free Odyssey app. Checking in, Steve. What's happening?
Hey, BT and Sal. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, Steve.
I watched every inning of the game, every inning of the Subway Series, all four games, and last night a thought came to me as the game was winding down, and I'm a lifetime Met fan. But my thought was, I wonder 10 years from now, if Met fans are going to look back on this series the way Red Sox fans look back on 2004. If you look at the Mets, you know, we have the young GM. Mendy looks like a great fit. We have young talent playing well, a deep pipeline in the farm. And I think that this series was like a line in the sand, and it's going to be a turning point. And New York is going to be owned by the Mets. For the next decade.
Well, I mean, listen, it's not implausible. I mean, it happened in the mid-80s when the Mets ran the show. But I do think you kind of jumped the bridge two ways a little quick here. You say, in your words, the Mets have young players flourishing, and they've got the pipeline of the minors stocked. Okay. First of all, I believe, and the numbers bear this out, doesn't mean they can't get there when they get to the pros and be a different player, because Judge struggled in the minors as well. But these Met prospects... Stop. I mean, half are hurt and half aren't hitting. And when you say the young players are basically killing it right now, no, they're not. It's Lindor, it's Nimmo, and no. I love Alvarez, but it's Bader, it's Severino, it's you know, I mean, where are the young outside of Vientos? Everybody's a veteran pitcher. Your best pitcher's hurt. Christian Scott didn't look that great when he was here. I mean, so where are these great young talents that have ascended to Queens?
Well, Vientos and Alvarez are two right. Major parts.
I understand that, but he made it see.
Well,
I think he's
in the prime of his career.
That's all I'm saying.
I don't like the comparison with the Red Sox because that was a different circumstance. But I said this in the offseason, and I remember it being in meetings with our former boss when I said that for one of the shows, like, I think the Mets are on the ascension and the Yankees are going the wrong way and they're going to take over the Center. Like, laughed me out of the room, basically.
He did.
And a lot of people, when we brought it on the air, yeah, like, oh, how could you say that? It sounds crazy. Crazy Sal. And now look at it. And it does feel like that's exactly what's happening. One team is going in the right direction. They've shown discipline. They've been accountable. They've got the good manager right
yep.
now. Now, I'm not saying they have as much talent, and we need to see how these prospects go, but the way the Mets have built this thing, after learning a year ago that the way that they were going is the wrong way, they immediately pivoted, traded Verlander and Scherzer, got stuff back for them, sacrificed the end of last year making a meaningless run at the postseason, mm-hmm. and expediting the process with Cohen's resources, with now a stocked farm system, whether these guys pan out or not, who knows, but the farm system is in much better shape, with a real manager, a young, energetic, hungry manager who's obviously showing that he can manage here, with a team that's playing well, a lineup that has been the best in baseball since June 7th, the Yankees are... They have three stars. That's it. That's it. Everybody wants the GM fired, the manager fired. They need multiple trades. Like, the Yankees are in a bad spot. And I know it sounds hard to believe because they've had such sustained success, but I think he's onto something, as I was in the offseason. One team's going the right way. Now, again, they have to prove it mm-hmm. and do it, you know, sustain it, and we're a long ways from that. But this could be the beginning of that transition happening finally where the Mets take back to town.
Well, what's happening finally is that the culture is changing. You have to start with that. Whether it's Tom Thibodeau during the COVID year, culture changing a little bit, playing defense, scrapping, overachieving. And then obviously you add some real pieces, not to diminish that 2020 team, mm-hmm. but they overachieved and there was a bunch of B-minus players and plus Randall, who was awesome. And then you bring in some horses and now it's time to chase a championship. The thing about the Mets, I don't doubt the culture's improved, the needle's pointing in the right direction. First base, no guarantee Pete's back. Second base, you've told me for now 2 years you can't wait till McNeil's gone. Third baseman, you don't really have, well, I mean, Vientos hits, but I'm still not sure.
But they have all these guys in the minors.
I like Vientos, he's fine. Center field, okay, Bader's on a one-year deal. Marte, you can't wait to get rid of him.
Right.
And your entire pitching staff is basically a one-year rental. Right. So it is easy to enjoy the Mets' success, acknowledge it, tip the cap and say, probably got the right manager, probably got the right general manager, you got Cohen's checkbook. Those are all things you have as big-time assets. But like if I close my eyes and I say, all right, let me look at the Mets in the World Series in 2 or 3 years, half the guys playing every night aren't going to be on the team.
Yeah, but I'm not basing it on the success they're having this year. As a matter of fact,
I know you're not, but half these guys are going to be gone.
But that's my point. They're irrelevant. This is a transition year. You have to think big picture. All the guys that they have in the farm system and then the resources that they have that they're going to use in the offseason. Oh, we'll find out. I mean, a couple of them might be, and they're going to have to be. But where's the Yankees? The Yankees.
I'm not talking about the Yankees. Well, Yankees have a multitude of problems. Yankees are a mess.
We're talking about, in comparison, I'll tell you
that.
This. The coup de grace is going to be when Juan Soto signs with the Mets.
Who?
I've said it from day one.
Who?
Soto.
There you go.
I've said it from day one. People, again, oh, crazy Sal.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden it's like, oh, the Yankees are a mess. By the way, it wouldn't even be a smart move for the Yankees to give Juan Soto $600 million. But when they do get Soto, then they will have officially taken
Soto
over the town.
There's no
the
chance
Yankees.
Of getting Soto.
That's
you know
the coup de grace.
Listen, you've been on that, and we can literally, for the next 48 minutes of the show, Soto Yanks, Soto Mets, and get no resolution, and do it again tomorrow and get no resolution. It's going to be a while, so it's a fun conversation. Nobody really knows what's going to happen. But he's not going to Queens, buddy.
Well, we'll see.
He's
but it was
not,
my point is that was part of the plan, the vision, when I started talking about the King Cohen stuff. This was part of the plan.
Man,
you sweep the Yankees.
Well, he didn't sweep.
I don't see any Kings in the Bronx, do you?
No, I see a lot of peasants right now.
Me too.
Oh, you're absolutely nuts. You got to be enjoying this, buddy. Your team's playing really well.
This is only the beginning, my friend.
Listen, I'm here for it. I mean, I prefer a different script here, but I will deal with the cards that I'm dealt. Trust me. Gary's in Bethpage. What's happening, Gary? How you doing today?
Yeah, going back to the whole Mets prospect thing, and obviously the biggest weakness right now is the bullpen. I think the solution to this is right in front of them, and it's their two pitchers right in the top 100 prospects. It's Brandon Sproth and it's Blade Tidwell. Both are absolutely stuffed monsters. If you brought them up today, they'll probably be one of your best, better bullpen arms. This is what they did with Spencer Strider with the Braves. This is what they did with Garrett Crochet with the White Sox. I don't see why not.
Listen, I would just be making something up at this point. I do follow the minors maybe a little more closely than Sal, or at least invest more energy into it. I don't know, man. I mean,
Well, put it this way.
Start to get down to that level.
What was the caller's name I missed?
I'm sorry, I hung up
okay.
on him. Joe.
Do you trust the caller, or do you trust Stearns to make the right decision? Like, if Sproat can contribute or Tidwell can contribute, they're going to bring them up, just like they did with Christian Scott. So I can't get caught up in the minor leagues.
Now, you've called yourself Crazy Sal twice this segment.
Yeah.
Now you really look like Crazy Sal.
I can't see what
you
want to
do. Can you describe what he's wearing right now? Can you just describe this crazy lunatic who I love?
Here's the issue that I have. They're making fun of me because I have my sunglasses on and I have my reading glasses over it. The problem is...
With the way it's tilted and slanted.
I can't see.
You look deranged,
well, first of
man.
All, it's not even that sunny outside right now.
I know. It's
no,
true.
No. You don't understand something.
I don't.
Because of my cataracts,
it's full shade,
the glare, if I'm walking inside, I cannot see when there's a glare. And now we're outside and there's a glare. So it's not direct sunlight.
Oh.
It's glare. It's a major problem.
Wait, look at me.
And I can't read this.
Let me get a picture of this guy.
I mean, why don't I just dress up like Doink again? I mean, what is this, Sal the Clown back
happy anniversary, guys.
Yes.
I seriously, I can't read it. If I take these off,
really?
This is a little blurry. I mean, I probably could get through it.
You know what's crazy? You want me to be totally honest with you?
Yeah.
I've done that before.
Yeah.
I actually have done that before.
You think this is bad?
Yeah.
I'm outside in the backyard with, like, major glare.
Is it still chirping, by the way, that neighbor?
Yeah,
that annoying,
yeah
it's still chirping?
And I'm trying to do stuff. Yeah, it's still there. And I'm trying to do stuff like look at the chlorine reading for the pool or look at the thing in the back. Yeah. I can't see anything. I'm doing the same thing. I got three different pairs of glasses going. I'm trying to put a towel over me so it stops the glare. I can't see. You guys are giving me crap.
Go ahead. What do you got there, Read-Wise Sally
call?
Boy? Oh, yeah, we can. We're allowed.
Take one more call.
Yeah,
one more call.
We're allowed to do whatever we want. But
you basically do whatever you guys want anyway.
That's true. Craig is in East Brunswick, New Jersey. What's cooking there, Craig?
Hey, what's up, Sal? BT, love the show. I just
got
a few points to make. Listen, I'm a Met fan. I'm not a disgruntled Met fan, so Yankee fans. At the end of the day, you have to realize this is not a good lineup. I'm not praising the Mets lineup, but I can say that the Mets lineup is the lineup that can win you a World Series, like the Diamondbacks did way back when, the Nationals did a few years ago, the Braves. They have timely hitting. The Yankees find ways, fielding-wise and hitting-wise, to lose games. If you look at last night, three of those plays, I know Aaron Judge is a superstar, and so is Soto, but it's basically having a basketball team with two stars on it and no bench. I mean,
right, yeah, and you're not playing basketball, where that could work
exactly.
In basketball.
That can work, but only so far. You look at that game last night, you have guy throwing home way too soon. That's a run. Ground ball to first, which I understand it looked like a hit, but it was catchable. Same thing with Judge misplaying the ball, and Judge is a superstar. Don't get me wrong. Everybody makes mistakes. But bad teams find ways to lose games. At the end of the day, I mean, you can blame it on injuries. The Mets were injured. Alvarez didn't play the first one. Month, whatever, mm-hmm. J.D. Martinez didn't play. You have to overcome that.
Martinez has been out.
Not the reason.
Senga, their ace, has been out.
Thank you.
The Brooks, really, one of the key bullpen arms, has been out all year. I mean, Drew Smith, as much as I despise him, he'd be better than some of the minor league options that they're rolling out there. The Mets have been ravaged by injury. Nobody's using that as an excuse. Why not?
No.
Because they're deep. Stearns built a deeper roster than Cashman did.
The Yankees are, you know, we focus on the big names, which I think is a little misleading. It's tiresome. Like, I think that I long ago transitioned from thinking the Yankees should have seven All-Stars and like what they used to, when the economics of the game were very different and player development has changed that, how teams reinvest their money like the Rays, and it's just a different game, okay? So I look at this team. And I think one thing that we tend to ignore because we're so fixated on the lack of offense, fundamentally, they stink. I mean, last night, now, they weren't going to win the game anyway. Ground ball, routine ground ball, Cabrera. Now, you were watching SNY. I was watching
we're
both watching ESPN.
Yeah.
That's right. And so you probably heard him say it, like Eduardo Perez, who I like as well on the broadcast. Just a simple thing of shifting your feet, which then shifts your shoulders, which prevents the ball from sailing, which of course it did. I mean, that runner's got to be out at home plate by 5 feet. Little things like that, an absence of attention to detail, base running. What did the Yankees go, 20 games without a stolen base? I mean, remember that stat?
Well,
so you're not hitting home runs. You're not trying to push the envelope and try to make the other team make mistakes by putting pressure on them on the bases. What are you doing?
It's why I continue to say they're not a good team. And people don't want to believe it because they're the Yankees and the pinstripes and the superstars that they have. They're not a good team by the definition of the word team. And, I mean, they played well early on in the year. I still thought that they were masking some of the significant flaws that they have. And now you're seeing them come to fruition. Are they this bad? Are they White Sox bad? Probably not. But the fact that they're close enough to that, they're not a good team.
All right, let me ask you this. The Mets, there's been, as we've said a few times, there's basically been like six or seven or eight different baseball seasons within this one baseball season for both the Yankees
really.
And the Mets. Okay. So, but let's just boil it down to two for each team. The horrible start by the Mets, where they are now. The amazing start by the Yankees, where they are now. Which do you think is more representative? I want you to answer this coming up next.
Okay.
Which is more representative, truly, of where these teams are? Like, the way the Mets are playing now, is that more the Mets? And the way the Yankees are playing now, is this truly emblematic of who the Yankees are? I want to get to that. I want your thoughts on that. 888-808-1019. It's BT and Sal live at Sleepy Hollow Country Club up here a little north of the city. Joe Torre, the Safe at Home Foundation, did a great day. We'll come back.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Santana into the windup. The payoff pitch on the way. Swung out and missed. Strike three. He's done it. Johan Santana has pitched a no-hitter.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app. Call of the Day with Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
All right, today's Call of the Day brought to you by Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely, choose Ramsey Mazda. Now we got a guy who at the time, I mean, now it's easy. Oh, we love this guy. He was so amazing. But at the time, maybe one of the toughest transitions to come here, taking over for Don Mattingly. And, of course, we're talking about the great Tino Martinez. Tino, it's BT and Sal. How you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing great. Happy to be here.
You know, I haven't had a chance to interview you before, Tino, and I must let you know that I grew up a Mets fan, and I despised you and those Yankee teams. And there are a couple things I think of when I think of Tino Martinez I want to get out of the way before we move on with the interview. Number one, can you finally admit that in the 98 World Series that Mark Langston threw you a strike before you hit the Grand Slam?
I cannot admit that.
Yeah, attaboy, it was Tino. A strike, Tino!
Attaboy!
You see it on TV every day. You watch it a game every day. That same pitch is in the bottom of that box. Sometimes they call it a strike. Sometimes they call it a ball. And most catchers now grab that ball and they pull it up.
They pull it up.
And that's what happened in my pitch. It was at the knees. I mean, if you call it a strike, you call it a strike. But I thought it was a ball the whole time. And it could have gone either way.
Oh, for
but,
one, Sal.
But no, it doesn't matter, Sal. Sal, it doesn't matter.
It wouldn't have mattered. I admit it wouldn't have mattered. But come on. I'll bring him up. Oh, my goodness.
There you go. That is the BT and Sal Call of the Day with Tino Martinez here on The Fan.
Oh, man.
Tino's great.
I'm getting to do a lot of things that I want to, like, close some chapters.
I can see that.
Like the David Wright thing. I was sitting on that for 18 years calling him out for struggling in the 2006 postseason, specifically in Game 7. And Tino, every time I think of him and I see that highlight, as he said, it's on every freaking day, watching him deck one in a right field, you know, off the facade in Yankee Stadium.
Beers flying up in the air.
Yeah, the pitch before, it should have been a strike. He should have gotten rung up. And then, you know, the fight with Benitez drilling on the back. Gosh, I remember watching that like it was yesterday.
Me too.
I like closing these chapters. You get a chance, get a cool opportunity to talk to a lot of these guys.
What else do we need to address? Have you ever had a chance to sit down and reconcile things with John Starks after a couple of rough nights for the Knicks back in the day?
We had him on last year. I thought we were going to have him on again today, but I guess he couldn't do it.
Yeah, I think he had a tee off. He just couldn't quite make it.
We had him on last year, so I'm good with that. I mean, I had no issues with him. I love him.
I know, he's your favorite.
You know, Piazza, we've talked to him.
But still, maybe Harvey. Not get to the bottom of why he missed so many shots.
Will you stop ripping Starks? You can't help yourself. You're ripping Starks and Ewing. What's wrong with you?
I love him.
I'd love to get Pat on with you. I've had him on a podcast before. Now, I think I'm starting to close the chapters.
Getting
time,
there.
Time to maybe move on.
All the healing is done. Let me think what else has been.
You know which one I want?
Well, go ahead.
I want Roger.
Call Clemens, jeez.
That chapter has not been closed. Going on 25 years. I need to talk to Roger.
You know, if we ever get Roger on the show, me and Tiki had him on a few times.
Really?
Yeah. Tiki knows him a little bit. He was doing some stuff, some business with him. I'll make a promise to you as my partner. We get Roger Clemens on the show. I'll walk out for 5 minutes. I'll let you handle what you got to handle.
I'll come back and join back in. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I might want you to stand by. Just in case.
Okay, got it. Then I will stand by. I would have done that for you, but if you want me to stick around, I'll stick around for you.
I might.
All right.
I got you. Nasty with Roger. I don't know.
By the way, because I support Piazza there. Even in that situation.
Right.
And I love Clemens, but, yo, I mean, when it came down to the sharp bat, I mean, I thought Mike should have maybe, you know, put up a fight, whatever, as we talked to Mike about.
Oh, you said that to him, yeah.
I did say that to him. But, no, Roger was 100% wrong. So, all right, I'll stick around. Mike's down in Atlanta on the Free Odyssey app with BT and Sal. What's happening, Mike?
Hey, guys, what's up? First time, long time. Congrats on the first year together.
Thanks, dude.
Grew up in Queens, moved down here a few years ago. And I just want to say thank God for WFAN because local sports radio is garbage, as I would like to say. And the Odyssey app rules, so you guys are catch up what I miss. And also thank you for talking about baseball and not football, because sometimes I turn on FAN and it's like, isn't it baseball season? Why are we talking about football all the time? So I appreciate that. Quick point, I think the Mets could still blow it, and I've been around long enough. I'm 42 years old. I've watched it. I think the Yankees could still pull it together. When it comes to the bullpen for the Mets, everyone's going for the same arms. I don't see how anybody comes out with the best out of the teams that are looking for it. And then, quick question, tell me yes or no, Severino should be re-signed by the Mets. I'll hang up and listen.
I would say much more of a yes there. I'd have to see. I don't think he'd get a crazy deal, maybe 2 years plus one. But I would say if I'm the Mets and if he finishes up strong this year, that's somebody I'm looking to keep. You know he can handle New York City. That's number one.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
I mean, right now, look, I mean, we're not even in the ballpark of having that conversation or having to have that conversation. Things will look different in the offseason and what the Mets, who they bring up, who they go get. But, I mean, the way that he's performed, the fact that he's done it in New York with the Mets, you know, the way that he turned around his career after last year throwing batting practice all year long, yeah, I mean, why wouldn't you be open to bringing him back other than maybe he priced himself out now because maybe some team's going to give him 3 or 4 years. I wouldn't go nuts with it with Severino.
Me neither. I wouldn't go nuts.
Maybe 2 years. I'm not going much longer than that, and yep. Maybe he gets more than that from somewhere else.
So let me ask you the question that I posed before. Okay, I want your answer. So for those who missed it, the awful Mets to start the season versus the amazing Mets to, you know, last couple of months here versus the amazing Yankees to start the season and the awful Yankees the last, you know, 6+ weeks or so. Which of those four, like, what is more true? What's most true?
I think the Mets right now are the most true thing between the four. Mets early, Mets now, Yankees early, Yankees now. I think the Yankees will come back a little bit and play a little bit better.
Okay.
I think the Mets right now are really what they are. I'm not talking about, like, best team in baseball.
Yeah, no, I got you.
But I think legitimate top team in the National League as far as, you know, underneath the Phillies and Dodgers, I think they're as good as anybody else in the National League.
I would answer it this way. Now, there's only four options. So, obviously, from the Mets' perspective, you scratch off the awful Mets. And from the Yankees' perspective, you scratch off the amazing Yankees because they're too lackluster for too long. It really comes down to, do you think the way the Mets are playing is more representative of who they are or the way the Yankees are playing with the same standard there? And I think I would agree with you. I think that the Mets are closer to looking this good and being this good. Now, I do think the Yankees will find a way to get a little bit better, you know.
Well, I do, but I still think they're bad.
Yeah, but I also think they're going to make trades, too. Right. So, but yeah, I agree. I think the answer is the Mets. The current version of the Mets is probably most accurate.
Which is great, because if that offense is, in fact, legitimate, and I felt like this, you know, weeks ago, if not a month ago, there was a certain point where I was like, okay, now I feel like, remember I was reluctant to go all in, and you're like, come on, come on.
Yeah, of course.
And I'm like, well, they got to do this, they got to do that, I'll let you know when I'm in. And then I did get in. And since then, it's been the same thing. I mean, the Mets have been a legitimate, one of the best offenses in baseball and a legitimate team here. So I think that's going to continue. And I also think they're going to add and make the right moves here and be a playoff team. Whereas the Yankees, I could see them bouncing back and playing a little bit better, and I could also see them continuing this poor play and going the wrong way. So I still don't know exactly what they are, but I don't think that they could be fixed to the level of getting back to where they were in the beginning of the year.
I've got a specific moment where I think you turned the corner in terms of your belief and your willingness to get hurt again, potentially, with these Mets. And it was when the article in the Post came out, known Grimace hater. Now, it was all in good fun.
Oh, when I embrace Grimace.
Yeah. I know it's not about Grimace. I'm not, but it kind of just seems like, because I remember saying, dude, just embrace the big purple, you know, the big purple guy. Come on, have some fun. And you really didn't like it. And for those who missed it, you didn't like it because you thought it was detracting from the actual accomplishments of the Mets players. And it was like some stupid, hokey acknowledgement by, you know, McDonald's mascot. But once you started kind of laughing about it a little bit, I feel like that's where you started getting a little deeper in the pool, not because of Grimace, but I think that let your guard down.
Right.
And then I think it opened up a little bit.
I was resisting the purple force. And then once I opened myself up to it, apologized, embraced the Grimace, you're right. Things have been much more satisfying.
You've been in the penthouse for a while. Tommy's in Jersey with BT and Sal. What's happening, Tommy?
Hey, guys. Big fan. How you doing?
Good.
Listen, I don't know if this has been brought up yet, but yeah, I apologize. I wasn't listening earlier, but has anybody seen the video of Marcus Stroman and Clark Schmidt eating popcorn during the game yesterday?
I didn't see that.
Me neither.
Hearing Tino before, that really brought me back to the glory days. He was a Yankee. Those days are long gone, but at some point, the leadership needs to be questioned on this team. These guys, what is Stroman? Is he at the movies watching Spider-Man? I mean, what are we doing here? Well, we're getting our butts kicked by the Mets over there. Where's Judge? Judge is the captain of the team. He's got that C on his jersey like Jeter. He's got to step in. They can't be eating popcorn.
Well, first of all, you don't know that he saw it there, Tommy. Number one, I did not see. Is that it, Sal?
I guess so. Hold on,
let me put the glasses on there. Sal just popped it up. That's not a great look. They're both. I don't know when that is. What inning that is? They're both sitting down while everybody else is standing. That's another optic that's not incredible.
I can't go
I'm not going to go nuts on it.
They're not.
I don't like it, but I'm not going to go nuts.
If they were position players, it'd be different.
Yeah.
I mean. What's the difference with chewing? What, because it's popcorn? If it were seeds, would anybody be saying anything?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, candy just, or whatever. Like, all right, so it's popcorn. Big deal.
But optics matter. You know, I think sometimes optics are overstated, but I think I could see why that would. I could see why that would bother a few people.
And by the way, I can't blame Stroman or Clark Schmidt for enjoying the show. I mean, you said they were they watching a movie? You're right. They were watching the Mets mash the Yankees.
Yeah,
that offensive performance, home runs left and right, that was popcorn worthy. Get your popcorn ready.
What's the name of the movie, though?
Yeah.
What is the name of the movie? Let's see.
Mauling?
I think we have to go with a multiple word title. Not The Empire Strikes Back. That's obviously our side of the tracks there.
I mean, it was a horror
movie.
How about
the hubcaps keep spinning?
I don't know.
All the chop shops out there.
What do you mean? This was that at...
No, I'm saying, the chop shops, like, you know, up in Queens, like a rally force.
Yeah,
Queens,
look.
Queens been revitalized a little bit.
Either way, it was a great display by the Mets' prowess. So I'm glad Stroman and Clark Schmidt appreciated what they were seeing from Mark Vientos and Francisco Lindor.
Twice.
Get your popcorn ready.
Hoff, do you have a name? You're usually pretty good at this. What would the movie be?
Yeah, I think we can go with
2024 Mets. You have a name for a movie?
Mets LOLing in the Bronx.
A little wordy.
A little wordy.
Verbose. Mets LOLing. No, I'm not feeling that at all. I thought you'd be a little better than that, quite frankly.
I just wanted to get the LOL Mets in there.
A Bronx.
What about OMG?
A Bronx fail.
Ooh.
A Bronx fail.
See, but the only problem with a Bronx fail, I love it. And Bronx Tale is an amazing movie. You're only playing to the Yankees where you need to illuminate the success of the Mets rather than just highlight the implosion of these Yankees.
Yeah.
A Bronx fail is witty.
Right.
I get it. It's applicable. Yankees stink.
Broomed in the Bronx.
The Mets.
Broomed in the Bronx.
I got to come up with something. Mm. Even your Met fans can't even do that. I'll come up with something good for you.
The Summer of Soto.
Summer Sam. Oh, man. All right. Do I have any reads here, Hoffy?
You have two.
Oh, I do. I have two of them. That's right. You did tell me that 10 minutes ago. I forgot. All right. Fanatics Fest is going to be a lot of fun, guys. Fanatics Fest NYC takes over the Javits Center on August 16th through the 18th here. Don't miss this powerhouse event. Over 100 athletes will be out there. Tom Brady's going to be out there. Derek Jeter is going to be out there. The Manning brothers as well. Catch a star-studded Knicks paddle featuring Jalen Brunson. Ah, he is a legend already. Josh Hart. Dive into interactive sports challenges like a 40-yard dash and score. Hoff, what would you run the 40-yard dash in?
Come on. It's probably double digits.
Sal, what do you think you would run? You'd
Hoff?
Be better than yo. You. You would be better than Hoff.
I have no idea.
What do you think?
15 seconds?
15?
What is that?
Rich
a lot?
Eisen runs it in like 6.
Oh, okay. Then
on,
five.
Yeah, but he does it every year. I've never.
No, five. I could beat Eisen.
I think Sal can beat Rich.
100%.
I no doubt.
I've never seen Sal run.
It doesn't. I saw him run it at the game.
Have you seen Rich Eisen run?
Yeah.
Come on.
Run, Rich, run. We love Rich, but Sal's going to be a little quicker.
Talk New York sports with us. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All righty. BT and Sal back on the Fan. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata Show. Evan and Tiki coming up next as we have had a blast out here. Sleepy Hollow Country Club, and it's Joe Torre's foundation. Joe and Allie Torre, she is a big part of it. The Safe at Home Foundation. We get back to these calls here, 888-808-1019. We were trying to get come up with a movie name for these Mets. You know, the crazy script that their season's been thus far. And, you know, Sal came up with the Bronx fail, which is obviously more about the Yankees at this point. I remember about a while ago, I came up with 2.5 hitters. I'm like, hey, it's a new sitcom, 2.5 hitters. Instead of 2.5 men, the Yankees have 2.5 hitters. That's a new sitcom. Ryan Hoff came up with a couple of the duds, not even worth repeating. Ryan Hurley showed his creativity. Now, I think he's in the car. He's doing a little extra business in there. And he texted us, sweeping of the Enemy instead of Sleeping with the Enemy, which was a great movie back in the 90s, I want to say. It's a great movie, Sweeping of the Enemy. What do you think there, Sal?
Yeah, not bad.
Not bad.
Plus, the boss came up with it, so I got to give it, like, extra points. Yeah, not bad, boss. Hey,
it's the best thing.
No, no, I like that. I like that one.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan, there you go.
I thought you could call the Yankees pitchers the Touchables.
Instead of the Untouchables?
Yes.
There you go. Now you're getting warm.
I'm getting a little warm.
Yeah. You're getting warm. Let's get back to these calls here. We got about 10 or 11 more minutes to bang you guys in. John is on Staten Island. We'll beat Teen Sal. What's happening, John?
Hey, guys. Great show.
Thanks.
All I'm picturing, a big Mets fan like you, Sal, I love you, but all I'm picturing is Roger Clemens having you up in the air like Hulk Hogan used to military press those guys.
Yeah.
And you're wearing like a purple Grimace suit.
Well, no. You almost got BT to spit out his water.
Then I come in with the chair and BT, I knock him out.
Nah, BT, yeah. Definitely have him there because I can tell by BT. I listen to you guys show all the time. I've been watching BT. You better bring your lunchbox with BT.
Well, you're right about that, but here's the thing. I have been bad-mouthing Clemens for 25 years. I cannot back down to that. I don't back down from anybody, as you know.
You ain't alone in that.
Exactly. But my point is that if it does come to a head here, I got to stay true to myself.
You have to.
And
you would never recover if you didn't.
You're one of those little crazy guys.
That's exactly right. And I could bust Tino's chops about, you know, Mark Langston or Benitez or whatever, or tease Joe Torre a little bit about, oh, I hated those teams.
That's different.
With Roger, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
Because, first of all, I don't think Roger would take it the same way that some of these guys take it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're good sports. They even say afterward, good sport, whatever, just joking around with you. With Roger, it was nasty. It was personal. I don't know. Look, I'm not going to fight the guy.
No, no, I would hope not.
Maybe we have a Jim Everett, Jim Rome situation. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
Call me Chris again.
Some people think that was choreographed.
Was it?
Some people, I don't know that I believe that. Some people think that was kind of a setup back in the day where Romy said, what was the word he used?
He was calling him Chris Everett.
Chrissy
Everett or something.
Chrissy to imply that he was soft, whatever.
And
Everett's like, call me that one more time. I'm basically going to stomp you out. And he goes, Chrissy. And he launches over the table and like Piper's Pit.
Right. So if Clemens is like, say that one more time about Piazza to me, what do you think I'm going to do?
You're going to definitely say it.
100% I'm going to say it. Come get me, Rog.
No doubt.
And that's why I need you to stay in the room.
I will. Now here's the thing, though. How do you get to the... So let's say we have Roger.
Yeah.
And by the way, I can make this happen. Like, I can make... It's now my mission to make this happen. So how do you do it? Because do you go right for the money shot?
Do you warm him up with
Hall of Famer? Oh, should be Hall of Famer. 7 Cy Youngs, blah, blah, blah.
No.
What's the approach?
We get right to it. And again, I'll do it respectfully, as respectfully as those type of questions can be asked, but from my perspective.
Yeah, for sure.
But 100% right into it.
Because this is really what...
Unless he's got something to promote. Get that out of the way first.
Yeah, you gotta get that out. usually what defines an interview, a great interview is a piece of magic. It really is. There's so many things that go into it. And I think that you've got to get the subject very comfortable. You obviously have to have good rapport, good presence. But there's a time to keep going back to the well. You got
to
know when it's time to move on. And that is a very delicate line to straddle. So do you think that will be a problem for you? Would you eventually ever move on? Like, if he's not answering what you need answered, or if he's not giving you the answer that you want to hear, do you just abandon hope and go, by the way, you're a Hall of Fame Rudge?
You
got to keep going.
Yeah, we move on.
No, you can't. For this one, you can't.
Well, until what?
Until it becomes very ugly, he hangs up. I've got to intervene. I'll play the bad guy or maybe the peace broker at that point. But if you tap out, I'll lose respect for you.
Well, I would never want anybody to hang up on us or hang up on him. We don't want that to be the case. So,
for sure.
And we'll see if it can happen. Right now, it's a hypothetical. Maybe one day.
Let's get Mike in Brooklyn. Mike is with BT and Sal on the Fan. What's happening, Mike?
Not a lot. Thanks, fellas. I got to catch up on the Odyssey app. It sounded like a big day today.
It was fun.
Awesome.
Just a note about Clemens. I was a big Yankee fan, and I feel like all in the span of a few years, boom, 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 correct me if I'm wrong, it was Wells out, Clemens in. Then, you know, the Yankees, which is at the time, they were blowing everybody else out of the water in terms of payroll. And then they changed the stadium. So that was really, I look at Clemens for Wells as like the end of me being a Yankee fan, but that's neither here nor there. I have a question about Soto.
Go for it.
And when you start to worry, BT, because maybe he's looking in Queens right now.
Yeah, I mean, when do I start worrying? Never. Maybe the day, and this will never happen, but, you know, when he puts on that ugly blue and that one of seven jerseys that you guys have because you don't really have any real tradition, you know, when he's actually at that podium doing the introductory press conference in Queens, then I'll react. Until then, I have no fear because he's not leaving.
And to be honest, nothing – like, I'm going to stay the same way that I felt all year long, all preseason, during the season. I know Tom Verducci said it before that he thinks now because the Mets have played themselves into a playoff position, they're more appealing. I don't buy any of that. I think Soto hiring Boris and based on, you know, turning down the big deal with the Nationals years ago, I think he's all about the money. So I don't think it has anything to do with the Mets playing well. I don't think it hurts the Mets that they've been playing better, but I didn't think that they were going to be out of it when they were playing poorly. Same thing with the Yankees. I don't think this hurts the Yankees because they're playing poorly because they got swept by the Mets. Now Soto's like, oh, I'm going to go to the Mets. No, I think it's just going to be about the money. And the Mets are going to offer it, and I believe they're going to offer the most money, which is why I think Soto's going to end up there eventually.
And by the way, I say this, and if you couldn't detect it, I don't know what to tell you. But you know, when I'm messing around, when I talk about the Mets history, I mean, I've got great respect for Seaver and Kuzma.
Now, you remember, you got to go home and talk to your dad at some point.
Yeah, I'm going to see him today.
Birthday party. Yeah, Kent's right.
Yeah. No. What's this seven? What's this birthday party entail? How much, Daddy? Oh, we only rented out an ice skating rink. I mean, what?
God bless. Jeez.
Last year we had ponies. This year we had an ice skating rink. No, I'm just messing around, though, with the Mets history. I mean, yeah, you do have a lot of jerseys, and I don't like the hat, even though it's kind of like the Knick colors to an extent. Mm-hmm. I just don't like the hats. I don't like the uniform. Like that blue and orange.
You see Jalen Brunson was out of the game?
I did.
Yeah.
I saw him posing with Judge. No Mets. Just Judge.
No, he was there chopping up with Lindor.
I didn't see any pictures with Lindor.
Well, I saw the video of it.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Did you really?
Yeah. Yes, he was there. We had it at SNY. They had old shots.
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Who did he speak to longer?
I think it was Lindor.
Oh, stop.
I think it was Lindor.
Get Greg and Mattisquad with BT and Sal. What's happening, Greg?
What's going on, guys? Brandon, you brought up a good point. Like you guys said, like, what do you do now? They have no minor league system. And I think sell at the trade deadline and get rid of everything. And
You talk about the Yankees. I never said sell. No, I'm saying the exact opposite. You may have gotten the points mixed up, which is fine. No way. I think the Yankees are two now. It's not just one. I think it's two multiple power moves away. And if you do it, then I think you can win the World Series. But I'm saying the exact opposite. If the Yankees punt, it's the most pathetic punt in the history of sports. You cannot punt from a Yankees perspective.
Yeah, but if you go for it and you trade youth or you whatever you do,
yeah,
and you don't make it,
yeah,
then what?
Oh, so you're talking about the – yeah. Okay, so to be clear, and thank you for the call there, Greg. To be clear, I just gave you the possibility of giving up a Dominguez and a Spencer Jones and going for it now, and the pieces not being enough to take the Yankees to the World Series, and then Soto bolting, and then that's worst case scenario. Now, I would not give up Dominguez. I would give up with Spencer Jones. I would give up Spencer Jones. But no, there is a possibility that this if they go all in. It completely blows up in their face, but that is a risk given Cole, Judge, Soto, Dynamics, Hall of Fame, Prime, Age stuff I would be willing to take.
And then if you do that, you have to just double down again on top of it and throw more money at the issues in the upcoming offseason. I would not do that. I am the one who said I would – I said this weeks ago, if the Yankees continue this path into the deadline, I would look to potentially be sellers. I know why they can't. I know why that sounds nuts. Don't get me wrong. I'm aware of it. They have Soto. They have Judge. Every team in the sport of teams makes the postseason. If you get in, you have a chance to win it. So I understand that. I just think the Yankees are broken. I think it's time for significant change. And maybe trading Soto is not the right move. Maybe you just wait until the offseason and clean house and do it then. That's fine. Different conversation. But I don't think this Yankee team could be fixed. And there's no way that I would trade Jones or anybody else of that caliber. Certainly wouldn't trade Dominguez. I wouldn't even trade Jones now to fix this team when I think they have much deeper issues.
Well, one thing we do know as we get ready to wrap it up, that apparently our boss doesn't know when to say when. I mean, come on. So he texts us here Ryan Hurley sweeping at the enemy, which was good. Again, played off nicely on the sleeping with the enemy. Then he texts us, you ready for this?
Yeah, what?
Nightmare on Sweep Street.
That's a good one.
God, that is so corny. Come on, one too many. Come on, know what a tap out. Yeah. Hey, this has been awesome. It's been a lot of fun here. Special thanks to Joe and Ali Torrey. They both stopped by. By the way, if you missed anything, free Odyssey app, Pit Rewind, the WFAN YouTube page, Tino Martinez stopped by, Maz, new granddad, lovely Mazzilli, always have, Tom Verducci. This was a lot of fun, man. Really good. Really good. More fun for you,
admittedly,
than me, but
Dan the
fun.
Sweeper, too. Did you thank him?
Oh, Dan the Sweeper.
Dan the Sweeper had him on, yes.
Boy, how boring was he on the air? Jeez.
BT, what are you doing?
Why does this guy have headsets? One thing you want to enter the shot, have a little fun with, I mean, with some props here, but why is this guy on the show? Get him out of here. Who is he?
Oh, man.
Oh, man. All right, we got Evan and Tiki coming up next, Al. I'll see you tomorrow back in the studio. The special thanks to everybody here. Hurley coming out. Priya coming out, obviously, setting us up with the buttons. Our producer,
Hoff,
who was awesome. Yeah, what's up?
I know you're busy tonight with the party.
Yeah.
Try and get some sleep. Sleep.
You are an ass. I'll let you have the last word. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Talk New York Sports with us. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All righty, BT and Sal back on the Fan. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata Show. Evan and Tiki coming up next as we have had a blast out here. Sleepy Hollow Country Club. And it's Joe Torrey's foundation, Joe and Allie Torrey. She is a big part of it. The Safe at Home Foundation. We get back to these calls here. 888-808-1019. We were trying to get come up with a movie name for these Mets, you know, the crazy script that their season's been thus far. And, you know, Sal came up with the Bronx Fail, which is obviously more about the Yankees at this point. I remember about a while ago, I came up with 2.5 hitters. I'm like, hey, it's a new sitcom, 2.5 hitters. Instead of 2.5 men, the Yankees have 2.5 hitters. That's a new sitcom. Ryan Hoff came up with a couple of the duds, not even worth repeating. Ryan Hurley showed his creativity. Now, I think he's in the car. He's doing a little extra business in there. And he texted us, sweeping of the enemy.
Hmm.
Instead of sleeping with the enemy, which was a great movie back in the 90s, I want to say. It's a great movie, sweeping of the enemy. What do you think there, Sal?
Yeah, not bad.
Not bad.
Plus, the boss came up with it, so I got to give it, like, extra points. Yeah, not bad, boss. Hey,
it's the best thing.
No, I like that. I like that one.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan, there you go.
I thought you could call the Yankees pitchers the Touchables.
Instead of the Untouchables?
Yes.
There you go. Now you're getting warm.
I'm getting a little warm.
Yeah.
You're getting warm. Let's get back to these calls here. We got about 10 or 11 more minutes to bang you guys in. John is on Staten Island. We'll beat Teen Sal. What's happening, John?
Hey, guys. Great show.
Thanks.
All I'm picturing, a big Mets fan like you, Sal, I love you, but all I'm picturing is Roger Clemens having you up in the air like Hulk Hogan used to military press those guys.
Yeah.
And you're wearing like a purple Grimace suit.
No. You almost got BT to spit out his water.
Then I come in with the chair and I knock him out.
Now, BT, yeah. Definitely have him there because I can tell by BT. I listen to you guys show all the time. I've been watching BT. You better bring your lunchbox with BT.
Well, you're right about that, but here's the thing. I have been bad-mouthing Clemens for 25 years. I cannot back down to that. I don't back down from anybody, as you know.
You too? You ain't alone in that.
Exactly. But my point is that if it does come to a head here, I got to stay true to myself.
You have to.
And
you would never recover if you didn't.
You're one of those little crazy guys.
That's exactly right. And I could bust Tino's chops about, you know, Mark Langston or Benitez or whatever, or tease Joe Torre a little bit about how I hated those teams.
That's different.
With Roger, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think Roger would take it the same way that some of these guys take it.
Uh-huh.
Like, they're good sports. They even say afterward, good sport, whatever, just joking around with you. With Roger, mm-hmm. it was It was nasty. It was personal. I don't know. Look, I'm not going to fight the guy.
No, no, I would hope not.
I mean, maybe we have a Jim Everett, Jim Rome situation. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
Call me Chris again.
Some people think that was choreographed.
Was it?
Some people, I don't know that I believe that. Some people think that that was kind of a setup back in the day where Romy said, well, what was the word he used?
He was calling him Chris Everett.
Chrissy.
Chrissy Everett or something.
Chrissy to imply that he was soft, whatever.
And
Everett's like, call me that one more time. I'm basically going to stomp you out. And he goes, Chrissy. And he launches over the table and like Piper's Pit.
Right. So if Clemens is like, say that one more time about Piazza to me, what do you think I'm going to do?
You're
going to
definitely say it.
100% I'm going to say it. Come get me, Raj.
No doubt.
And that's why I need you to stay in the room.
I will. Now here's the thing, though. How do you get to the point? So let's say we have Roger.
Yeah.
And by the way, I can make this happen. Like, I can make, it is now my mission to make this happen. So, how do you do it? Because do you go right for the money shot? Do you warm him up with Hall of Famer? Oh, should be Hall of Famer, 7 Cy Youngs, blah, blah, blah.
No.
What's the approach?
We get right to it. And again, I'll do it respectfully, as respectfully as those type of questions can be asked, but from my perspective.
Yeah, for sure.
But 100% right into it.
How many times do you, because this is really what.
Unless he's got something to promote. Get that out of the way first.
Yeah, you gotta get that out. usually what defines an interview, a great interview is a piece of magic. It really is. There's so many things that go into it. And I think that you've got to get the subject very comfortable. You obviously have to have good rapport and good presence. But there's a time to keep going back to the well. You got
to
know when it's time to move on. And that is a very delicate line to straddle. So do you think that will be a problem for you? Would you eventually ever move on? Like, if he's not answering what you need answered, or if he's not giving you the answer that you want to hear, do you just abandon hope and, by the way, you're a Hall of Fame Raj?
I mean, no.
I mean, what do you got to keep going.
Yeah, we move on.
No, you can't. For this one, you can't.
Well, until what?
Until it becomes very ugly, he hangs up. I've got to intervene. Maybe I'll play the bad guy or maybe the peace broker at that point. But if you tap out, I'll lose respect for you.
Well, I would never want anybody to hang up on us or hang up on him. We don't want that to be the case. So,
for sure.
And we'll see if it could happen. Right now, it's a hypothetical. Maybe one day.
Let's get Mike in Brooklyn. Mike is with BT and Sal on the Fan. What's happening, Mike?
Not a lot. Thanks, fellas. I got to catch up on the Odyssey app. It sounded like a big day today.
It was fun.
Awesome.
Just a note about Clemens. I was a big Yankee fan, and I feel like all in the span of a few years, boom, 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 correct me if I'm wrong, it was Wells out, Clemens in. Then, the Yankees, which is at the time, they were blowing everybody else out of the water in terms of payroll. And then they changed the stadium. So that was really, I look at Clemens for Wells as like the end of me being a Yankee fan. But that's neither here nor there. I have a question about Soto.
Go for it.
And when you start to worry, BT, because maybe he's looking in Queens right now.
Yeah, I mean, when do I start worrying? Never. Maybe the day, and this will never happen, but when he puts on that ugly blue and that one of seven jerseys that you guys have because you don't really have any real tradition. When he's actually at that podium doing the introductory press conference in Queens, then I'll react. Until then, I have no fear because he's not leaving.
And to be honest, nothing – like, I'm going to stay the same way that I felt all year long, all preseason, during the season. I know Tom Verducci said it before that he thinks now because the Mets have played themselves into a playoff position, they're more appealing. I don't buy any of that. I think Soto, hiring Boris and based on turning down the big deal with the Nationals years ago, I think he's all about the money. So I don't think it has anything to do with the Mets playing well. I don't think it hurts the Mets that they've been playing better, but I didn't think that they were going to be out of it when they were playing poorly. Same thing with the Yankees. I don't think this hurts the Yankees because they're playing poorly because they got swept by the Mets. Now Soto's like, oh, I'm going to go to the Mets. No, I think it's just going to be about the money. And the Mets are going to offer it, and I believe they're going to offer the most money, which is why I think Soto's going to end up there eventually.
And by the way, I say this, and if you couldn't detect it, I don't know what to tell you. But when I'm messing around, when I talk about the Mets history, I mean, I've got great respect for Seaver and Kuzma.
Now, you remember, you got to go home and talk to your dad at some point.
Yeah, I'm going to see him today.
I'm going to see him today. Yeah, birthday party.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. No. What's this seven? What's this birthday party entail? How much, Daddy? Oh, we only rented out an ice skating rink. I mean, what?
God bless.
Last year we had ponies. This year we had an ice skating rink. No, I'm just messing around, though, with the Mets history. I mean, yeah, you do have a lot of jerseys, and I don't like the hat, even though it's kind of like the Knick colors to an extent. Mm-hmm. I just don't like the hats. I don't like the uniform. Like that blue and orange.
You see Jalen Brunson was out of the game?
I did.
Yeah.
I saw him posing with Judge. No Mets. Just Judge.
No, he was there chopping up with Lindor.
I didn't see any pictures with Lindor.
Well, I saw the video of it.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Did you really?
Yeah, yes. He was there. We had an SNY. They had all the shots.
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Who did he speak to longer?
I think it was Lindor.
Oh, stop.
I think it was Lindor.
Let me get Greg and Mattisquad with PT and Sal. What's happening, Greg?
What's going on, guys? Brandon, you brought up a good point. Like, you guys said, like, what do you do now? They have no minor league system. And I think sell it the trade deadline and get rid of everything. And
why did we talk about the Yankees? I never said sell. No, I'm saying the exact opposite. You may have gotten the points mixed up, which is fine. No way. I think the Yankees are two now. It's not just one. I think it's two multiple power moves away. And if you do it, then I think you can win the World Series. But I'm saying the exact opposite. If the Yankees punt, it's the most pathetic punt in the history of sports. You cannot punt from a Yankees perspective.
Yeah, but if you go for it and you trade youth or you whatever you do,
yeah,
and you don't make it,
yeah,
then what?
Oh, so you're talking about the yeah. Okay, so to be clear, and thank you for the call there, Greg. To be clear, I just gave you the possibility of giving up a Dominguez and a Spencer Jones and going for it now, and the pieces not being enough to take the Yankees to the World Series, and then Soto bolting, and then that's worst case scenario. Now, I would not give up Dominguez. I would give up with Spencer Jones. Pardon me, I would give up Spencer Jones. But no, there is a possibility that this if they go all in. It completely blows up in their face, but that is a risk given Cole, Judge, Soto, Dynamics, Hall of Fame, Prime, Age stuff I would be willing to take.
And then if you do that, you have to just double down again on top of it and throw more money at the issues in the upcoming offseason. I would not do that. I am the one who said I would I said this weeks ago, if the Yankees continue this path into the deadline, I would look to potentially be sellers. I know why they can't. I know why that sounds nuts. Don't get me wrong. I'm aware of it. They have Soto. They have Judge. Every team in the sport of teams makes the postseason. If you get in, you have a chance to win it. So I understand that. I just think the Yankees are broken. I think it's time for significant change. And maybe trading Soto is not the right move. Maybe you just wait until the offseason and clean house and do it then. That's fine. Different conversation. But I don't think this Yankee team could be fixed. And there's no way that I would trade Jones or anybody else of that caliber. Certainly wouldn't trade Dominguez. I wouldn't even trade Jones now to fix this team when I think they have much deeper issues.
Well, one thing we do know as we get ready to wrap it up, that apparently our boss doesn't know when to say when. I mean, come on. So he texts us here, Ryan Hurley, sweeping at the enemy, which was good. Again, played off nicely on the sleeping with the enemy. Then he texts us, you ready for this?
Yeah, what?
Nightmare on Sweep Street.
That's a good one.
God, that is so corny. Come on, one too many. Come on, no one to tap out.
Yeah.
Hey, this has been awesome. It's been a lot of fun here. Special thanks to Joe and Ali Torrey. They both stopped by. By the way, if you missed anything, free Odyssey app, Pit Rewind, the WFAN YouTube page, Tino Martinez stopped by, Maz, new granddad, lovely Mazzilli, always have, Tom Verducci. This was a lot of fun, man. Really good. Really good. More fun for you,
admittedly,
than me, but
Dan the
fun.
Sweeper, too. Did you thank him?
Oh, Dan the Sweeper.
Dan the Sweeper had him on, yes.
Boy, how boring was he on the air?
BT, what are you doing?
Why does this guy have headsets? One thing you want to enter the shot and have a little fun with. I mean, with some props here, but why is this guy on the show? Get him out of here. Who is he?
Oh, man.
Oh, man. All right, we got Evan and Tiki coming up next, Sal. I'll see you tomorrow back in the studio. The special thanks to everybody here. Hurley coming out. Priya coming out, obviously, setting us up with the buttons. Our producer,
Hoffa,
was awesome. Yeah, what's up?
I know you're busy tonight with the party.
Yeah.
Try and get some sleep. I mean, sleep.
You are an ass. I'll let you have the last word. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.